And then if you would just look on the screen or turn to your Bibles, and hopefully you got them open to the book of Luke, and just a few verses out of the book of Luke, a few verses out of the book of Luke in the second chapter of Luke. And we know it for different reasons, but today we're going to the second chapter and going to the last four verses. The book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 48 through 52. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And it reads, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subjected to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." A child had disappeared. A child had gone wayward, but a mother found him. And today, we just want to center thoughts around the things God wants a mother to do. There are some things that God wants mothers to do.
Amen.
There are some things that God wants a mother to do. And brothers, we're celebrating and honoring our mothers today, but this also applies to us. But there are some things, ladies, say to yourself, there are some things that God wants me to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, in today's society, as we look around, there are so many things that we see that have gone astray. There are so many things that need our attention. There's nurturing, and there's cooking, and there's cleaning, and there's working, and there's unconditional love, and there's chastisement, and there's, you know, bringing peace, and there's fighting against wickedness and against evil. And we can just put all these things into a category today, but there are some specific things that will unfold in this text that God wants mothers to do. And understand, mothers, as I speak to you today, I'm speaking to men, because these things that you are doing they're things for your children. They're things for you. They're things for other women. They're things for God. They're things for your enemies. They're things for us to do in our job. All these things represent doing things for God.
Yeah.
And it was the way you were created and designed, with unique characteristics and unique opportunities to speak in unique compassions and unique prayers that God ordained from the beginning. It's not new. God said it would be so. And these are the things that he has equipped you to do.
Amen.
So things that God wants a mother to do. The first thing we understand in this text is God just has something about it. He said God wants moms to look in amazement at God's creation. Oh, I before I get to the text here today, let me tell you that if you are a mother today, or even if you have never born children, you understand the concept. There's a whole lot of pain and agony that goes into bearing children, but that's not what amazes me. That's not what we stop at. Women will endure it and they will go through it. But when that child is born, if we could just stop and capture the look at the very first look when a mama sees their baby, it would bring so much deliverance to the world. We do Facebook, but if it was possible to capture every first look at their child, weary, worn, wounded, tired, hurting, tired of everything else, just having all kind of cramps and pains, but the look on the mother's face when they see their child for the first time brings a joy that makes all of that stuff go away.
My God.
It has a heavenly view to it. And the reason I want to emphasize that, because it is the same way that God looks at his children. We can capture that through a mother's look in amazement at God's creation.
My Lord.
There are testimonies that say, people have said, look what God has used me to bring. Look what God has done. That's my baby. That's my little boy. That's my child. And it can go on. And I, mothers, I don't know what you see when you saw your child, but I know that there was a look of amazement. And if you don't believe me, look here in the scripture. Look, the first one says what? Look, Luke 2 and just verse 48 and just the A part, it says what? And when they saw him, they were amazed.
My God.
Now, I got to point this out because the circumstances here are a little different, but yet they're the same. Understand, they had gone up to the city. They had paid their taxes. They had made their pilgrimage, and now they had left to go home. But after journeying away, their child went missing. They looked up, and Jesus was not with Mary and Joseph. Jesus had disappeared. And that was not the proper thing to have happen. That was being somewhat disobedient. That was bringing anger and anxiety and fear. But we find out that when they went back to look for him, and they found him not wallowing the streets, not trying to do wrong, but they found him sitting in the temple and talking with the people in the temple. So when they looked at him, he said what? They were amazed.
Yes.
Mama's got to look at their children in amazement, not at their shortcomings, but look at them and what? The promise and possibilities that God has in their child.
Amen.
Oh, we live in a world that is so quick to condemn, that's so quick to say what you can't do and what you did wrong, but not to look in the amazement and the view of how God has seen his children. Say, they look in amazement.
Yes.
And if you look at that word amazement, it says astonishment. And you cannot be amazed and astonished without being excited. See, I come to tell you today that during this pandemic situations, we got some parents and some mamas at home with their children, and I guarantee they're probably getting a little tired. They're getting a little weary because they're wearing out their nerve. They can't do their job and what they want to do because they're pretending. But they ought to change their attitude, and they ought to look at every little thing that your child is doing to learn with amazement. My baby is smart. My baby is awesome. My baby might be getting on my nerve, but look at what my child can do.
Yes.
There's a song that say, he looked beyond my faults, and somebody, you ought to look at your child. If your little child is straight, you'll say, thank you, Lord, for you revealed to me now what I need to know so that I can what, look beyond what's going on and look at what they need so that I can provide the help that they need. I can say, Lord, send me the resources.
Yes.
Lord, show me where to go. Lord, show me who to talk to get the help. Lord, I need to look beyond. And when we look beyond the faults and we see the needs, we see it in amazement. We don't see our children as failures. We don't see our children, they're just a little bit limited. They look just a little bit special. They whatever. And so all we tend to say is what? The negative. But no, look on your children with amazement. Look on the people that God has assigned you with amazement. He has put somebody in your life. Look at them in amazement.
Yes.
Because what? Yes. God created them. Or if you don't know why you need to read it, God did not make anything that was bad.
Man.
When he made man and he made woman and he makes every living creature, when he made every human being that comes out of a mother's womb, no matter what it is, God say it's good and very good. Now, I will tell you in advance, they might learn some bad habits. Habits can be unlearned. habits can be changed. But in the amazement, God did not create anything that was bad. So look at God's creation. Look at God's creation in amazement. You saw the tribute. You saw the beauty of the flowers, and you saw the water and the ripples in the water. When you look out and you see the grass blow and the flowers blow and you see the birds fly, you ought to look at amazement. The other morning, I got up, and when I opened the blinds, I looked out in my yard, and there was a robin redbreast and an orange breast, redbreast, whatever, sitting on the grill. And when I opened the blinds, and I thought, I want to take a picture. And as I raised the blinds to take the picture, the robin heard the move of the blind and looked at me. And I had just enough time to snap the picture before he took off. And I said, look at God. He's created this robin to be at peace, but yet he gave this robin such intricate hearing that he can hear what happened on the inside of my house while he was on the outside of my house, so that in case there was some danger, he could fly away. But for the moment before he flew away, he gave me joy. Because I saw the amazement of God's creation. And you don't have to believe me, but in Proverbs 1:8, it says, look, my son, God gave some instruction. He said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Why? For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains around thy neck. So you need to understand, mamas, that God told them, your children, to honor you because you're not going to hurt them. You're going to put fine jewelry on them. So they're going to be an ornament around their neck. They're going to be on a chain around their neck. Oh, yeah, mama, at some point in time, give your child a gold chain. And I'm not talking about a physical gold chain, but write the words of God, the scriptures around their heart and around their neck. And your prayers are like fine chains. So when you pray, guess what? It protects them. And so it will bind them up, and not for slavery purposes, but for the joy of the Lord.
My God.
You don't have to leave. Said again in Proverbs 6:20-21. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about the neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. See, there's something about it. There are children that will turn away from daddies. But very few children turn away from their mamas. They might have a period of time they might be angry, but there's nothing like a mama. That daddies just get whatever, but mamas are special, and that's ordained by God. And brothers, we can't be jealous at it, because that's the way God, mamas are given a special kind of love and a special dispensation that there's something about when they look at the amazement that we are looking at our child, but we have not birthed that child. We look at that child and we're happy, but nothing moved on the inside of us. And guess what? Every now and then when mamas was pregnant, we get a little jealous and get a little salty because we want to feel the baby move. We couldn't, and they would feel it all. Only something a mama can understand. And you don't have to stop there. Look at John. John 11:27 shows us how the hearts of mothers and the hearts of women will be. And he said, what she said, 11:27, and John said, she said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. This was Martha's declaration. But after Lazarus had died, she was wondering why Jesus took so long, because she had to look, and this was her brother, because she knew what a mother's amazement was, that something was wrong. But God said, wait a minute, I want to question. Who do you really believe? Martha said, I do believe you are. And that was important. Mamas, you got to believe that God is God. You got to believe Jesus is the Christ, because when he gets ready to do what nobody else can do, he's going to do it. And your children are going to see it. Your friends are going to see it. Your girls, your BSF's going to see it. Your husband's going to see it. Your friend over there going to see it. Your mama, your daddy, your children, your nephews, your nieces, the strangers, they're going to see just what God did. Martha sat there. She said, I believe. She just had to wait a little while. What? Jesus to call Lazarus.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I didn't say this right. I said he's going to call Lazarus. That's what the scripture said. But you need to know Jesus is going to call your child.
Hallelujah.
That's your deliverance today. You think your child ain't going to never make it. You all frustrated, man. Don't worry about it. Jesus is going to call your child. You know why? Because you bound up the word of God around their neck. You've given them the gold chain. You look at them with an amazement of what God has created and not with the destruction that said, hey, you ain't never going to mention it. You just kicked me off and I've had enough of you. Stop saying I've had enough and just look at the amazement beyond their faults. Look at the amazement beyond their disobedience. Look at the amazement beyond how they rebel and all those things. Say, okay, I'm not worried about it. I declare in the name of Jesus, you are not how you acting. You are my child. You're God's child. And I see the amazing thing in you.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Oh, God.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord God.
Glory to your name, Jesus.
I'm so glad my mama saw something in me. I'm glad her mama saw something in her. I'm glad her mama's mama saw something enough in them to say, I'm going to teach you to love God. Enough to say, I'm going to teach you to fear God. Enough to say, I might not have defended you at every moment, but I'm going to tell you enough that no matter what I did do, God's got you.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody ought to know that. Somebody knows that today. God says, I want mothers to look in amazement at God's creation. So the next time you look at your child, the next time you look at someone God has placed in your life that you are mentoring like a mother, the next time you look at somebody you don't know and you don't like what they do, but you know God has created them, look at them in amazement of who God has created.
Yes.
Look at the creation and not at the action. Why? Well, Pastor, why would you say that? These folks have lost their ever cotton picking mind out here. Why would I say it? Because God has given you the power in the name of Jesus through his spirit and his word to transform what they do. Whew.
Jesus.
Oh, God, I wish we were at the church so I can get some amens. Did I say that again? God has given you the power.
My God.
And his word and through his spirit to transform what they do.
Right.
Say on, preacher.
So when you look in amazement at God's creation, as Mary looked at her at Jesus teaching in the temple and being there, she didn't look in anger that he had left her. He looked in amazement at what he was doing.
My God.
Didn't say she wasn't angry, but she still looked in amazement. How do I know she was angry? Why? Because they, why have you dealt with me this way? Why did you do this? That brings us to the second point. Mother, God wants mothers to question what you do.
My God.
Okay, young people, say ouch. Okay, husbands, say ouch.
My God.
What you doing questioning what I do?
Right.
I'm a man. I'm 18. I'm 10. I get to do what I want to do. No, mother's got a question. Notice here, this was out of order, but it was in order. In those days when they were, the men did the speaking. You notice Joseph didn't say a word. Mary spoke up. His mother said to him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why did you do this? Why did you worry us? Why did you cause us pain? Why did you cause us to be in this place? Why did you worry us like that? I'm going to lose all my hair. I'm at my wit's end. Why would you do this? That's what she said. Said, behold, thy father and I have what? Sought thee sorrowing, worrying, wondering if you met with some bad fortune. But that's not a problem, because the reason the mother would do that is because of what the word says about a mother. You know what Proverbs 31 says, don't you? Proverbs 31 says what? It talks about a virtuous woman. It said, who can find a virtuous woman? who can find a virtuous woman? He said, what? Who can find? For her price is what? Far above rubies. The heart of a husband that faithfully trusted her. That's why Joseph didn't say nothing, because he trusted in his wife. That's what the Bible said. He safely trusted her so that what? He shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Because Joseph had a good woman, and he knew he had a good woman. He had a good wife. He had seen what God had done in his wife. He wasn't worried about speaking. He just let her do what God told her to do. So he kept quiet. Mm-hmm. So she got it. That's because she was a virtuous woman. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. And what? She bringeth her food what? From afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her man. She does whatever it takes to make sure that the household is good. She what? She planteth in the vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her. She perceived that her merchandise, her candle goeth not out by night. She never gets weary. She never gets tired. She never going to say, I don't like you, get away from me. You ain't never going to. There's something about a mother's love that they will not give up on their child. They might have a moment, they might have to do a flashback, but I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, mothers look on in amazement and you won't have many flashbacks. Mothers look in amazement, you won't have many of those moments. Mothers look in amazement and you realize the amazement that God sees you, you will see them, and all of a sudden, that other stuff.
Okay.
That other stuff will get pushed to the wayside. Oh, Pastor, what do you mean? It means when you get angry, God will hold your anger. Because the end goal, you might have to deal with it right then. And Mary dealt with it right then. She said, why would you do this? Oh, let me put it in today's term. Have you lost your mind?
My Lord.
Did you come out of me? Do I need to go? Oops, I don't want to say that. Yes, I do. Do I need to go upside your head? Because some mothers will say that. And oh, can I tell you the truth? Some mothers would actually do that. I had a mama that would say it and would do it. But I also had a mother that looked beyond where I was and saw the amazement of what God was doing.
Okay.
So because she could see beyond what she saw, the circumstance right there, she knew that this was just a journey. This was just a passing route. This was just temporary. Because one day I would come to myself. She didn't have to go, oh, have I lost my mind up here? No. I lost my mind for a moment to deal with you where you are, but I know who you are. That's what the word tells us to do, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 5, 6, 8. It says what? We had to understand that there were some contentions going on. It said what? Deliver such a one unto Satan from the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven and leaven the whole lump? He said, look, we got to deal with things that are wrong. Paul was talking about the evil that was in the church, the sin that was in the church. He said, we got to get this stuff up out of here. Mama's got to deal with the sin in their children's lives. It's got to go. Sometimes they'll speak over it. Sometimes they'll pray over it. Every now and then, they're going to hit on it. Oh, somebody say, wait a minute. You don't tell nobody to hit their child. The Bible says, spare not the rod. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. Every now and then, in due season, as you're training up a child, there has to be some discipline.
Amen.
Now, I ain't telling you my discipline, but I did not believe in sparing the rod. Okay, I wasn't beating them, I wasn't hurting them, but they didn't understand some logical things. Logic confused some child. But when you put a SWAT on their bottom that said, this is wrong, they stopped.
Okay.
And guess what? God's amazing way that he created us, if it causes us pain, we don't want to go back to it from a physical sense.
Amen.
Now, if only we could apply that to our psychological mindset. Well, unfortunately, we wrestle against what? Things in spiritual places. We wrestle against not flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. So our mind causes us to go back again and get hurt again and again and again and again. My prayer for mothers today is that no matter how many times you've been hurt, you let it go.
My Lord.
Because if you don't let it go, you can't look beyond and see the amazement that God has for you. If you hold on to the pain, if you hold on to the things that have happened, you begin to have a blurred view of the vision that God has for us. So he told this church, he said, look, you got to let it go, because a little bit, he said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may have a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover sacrifice, for Christ paid the price. Say, let us what? Keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Mothers must act in truth and not approve sinful actions. They must rebuke sin. So mamas, amen, if you out there just accepting any old thing your child does, that is not right. God said you got to rebuke the bad, but you got to love them and show them the good.
Say on, preacher.
Oh, let me make it real. I know this ain't nobody on this call, but guess what? Sometimes they want to do something, and that do something get you a little money and get you a little something, but I don't want them to go to jail. So I'm going to do whatever I can to help them not go to jail, but I know what they did is wrong. We got to stand on truth.
Amen.
If you want to know the truth, sometimes your child might have to go to jail to save their life. Because if you can't keep them from going out there in the world, and the gangs got them, and the drugs have got them, and the alcohol's got them, or the women of the world have got them, and they ain't listening to you, and they keep doing the same thing over and over, you want God to do whatever it takes that he can stop them in their tracks. And sometimes that might be that other thing. God will tell you. So he said what? But then in Matthew 18:35, he said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. God needs to tell, we need to be forgiving, mamas. You can't hold a grudge and say, my boy or my girl has always done wrong, and they ain't never going to mention that. My boy or my girl, you can't keep bringing up the past. You can't keep telling them they wicked. You can't keep telling them they evil. You got to let some of that stuff go, because if not, the stuff that's in your life ain't been let go. And some of us are sitting in places that the reason we're in place with our kids, because we never let go of the pain and the evil that someone did against us. So we don't even understand how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mercy, Lord.
But it's okay, young people. Mothers are going to question what you do.
That's right.
Husbands, much as we don't like it, every now and then they're going to question what we do. That's just part of the nature of a mother.
Yes.
But if we're doing things in truth and sincerity and right, God gives us an answer that satisfies their question.
My God.
So, Yes, Lord. Okay, I hear you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. No, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Mamas. Listen to this. When you're questioning what they do, they ain't seeing you trying to run things and take control.
Amen.
You question according to the Spirit.
Yes.
Not according to your fears.
Sam.
There's two things. There comes a point in life, mamas, you got to let the children go, because they got to be about their father's business, and their father's business is to go for them. Didn't you hear Jesus? What, you don't want me to be about my father's business? And when Jesus replied that this is what God told me to do, she had to let it go. Why? Because she knew that now God was in control. There comes points in our lives, mamas, that you can question, but then you can't control. You got to let it go. You got to let boys soar. You got to let the women go on to be who they are. Because if you don't, they never learn the lessons that you've been teaching them all along. All along you've been teaching them to love God and to trust God. And now you say it, trust you and don't trust God.
My Lord.
There's some mothers out there today that they just don't want their children to ever experience anything. They got to have some bumps and bruises.
My Lord.
If you've never fallen off a bike, you never know how to be safe. If you never hurt your finger, you'll never know how to fix a finger when yours hurt it. If you never allow them to make a decision, they never learn to go to God to hear the decision. So we got to, even though we question, we got to question and then let God do the rest.
My God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And this thing in this world that we live in today brings a lot of fear. This world that we live in today brings a lot of doubt, but it hasn't changed, y'all. look in amazement at God's creation, and mothers will question what you do. That's what God told us to do. And then the third thing today, and I just love this piece here. I just love what this happened. I just say, and they say, wait a minute, first off, in verse 5, they understood not the saying which he spoken to them. No, be about your father's business. What does that mean? Boy, you trying to be smart? You trying to run a game on me? You trying to give me some of that okey-doke stuff? I don't understand that. But they did argue and fight. They knew that they had a special child. Y'all know that, right? They knew this child was not normal. Your child is not normal.
Amen.
Every child that God puts on this earth that he brings through a mother is special.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible declares that he knows the plans that he has, and they're the every single baby, every single child, black, white, yellow, green, I don't care what color, is special. Deformed, mentally incapacitated, with limitations, every single child is special.
Amen.
So because they knew they had a special child, they didn't understand what he said, but he went down with them. So he came and went with them, came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But look at what the end of verse 51 said. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. All these things, she pondered this thing in her heart. She knew, I got a special boy. I got a special child. That's something I got to understand. So she pondered this thing. 12 years old, they said, she pondered these things in her heart. Yes. And guess what? Because she pondered him later on in life, she was going to tell somebody, do what he says. Y'all know the first miracle. I'm jumping ahead. But when they were at the first miracle, Cana in Galilee, guess what? They said, look, he said, bring me some. They said, whatever he say, do it, even before Jesus said to do it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because she had pondered in her heart. She knew how amazing her child was. She knew how anointed her child was. Do you know how anointed your child is?
My Lord.
It might be all willy-nilly, silly and goofy. Might be all defiant right now, but one day, you're going to look up and go, wow, that's my son. That's my daughter. My God. One day you're going to look up and your child's going to be giving you some advice. That's my child. Not you ain't talking back to me. Oh, mama, I'm telling you what I need to say to you. Daddy, I'm telling you what thus said the Lord. And all you can do is go, ooh. Recently, when my dad was in his last days and he was going back and forth and trying to be hard-headed, as I recall it, all I had to say to him, look, you taught us to do this. So stop trying to tell us to not do what you taught us to do. And that zipped his lip. He didn't say another word. Because he taught us to care about people. If you don't believe me, look at what you're going to understand. Look in Psalms, the book of Psalms of 119 and verses 11 through 16. This is what mothers do. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that what? I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as well. I'm rejoicing over this gift, God-given gift that you gave me in my child. I'm going to teach this child your statutes. I'm going to live by your statutes. I will meditate in thy precepts. And have respect until what? I'm going to meditate. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study so I can pass this on to my baby. I can pass it on to my son and pass it on to my daughter and pass it on to my friends and pass it on to my sister and my brother and pass it on to those that you put me in relationship with as a mother so that what? I can bless that. These are the things that God wants a mother to do.
Yes.
He said, I will not forget thy word. I will deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep the word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of there. Oh God, open my eyes that I can see what you're going to do to my son. Open my eyes that I can see what you're going to do to my daughter. Open my eyes where I can see that, oh Lord, why you got me chastising? I need to see, Father, the amazement that's coming in the future so that I don't get weary, so I don't cast them aside, so I don't discount the things that they go through, that I don't discount the love that you have, that I don't discount the miracles that you're going to perform even in this place.
My Lord.
Y'all know your child is a miracle, right?
Amen.
Isn't it an amazing thing that God has blessed you with a miracle?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Even if you didn't have a child and God has placed a niece or a nephew or somebody else in your life, that's a miracle. You know that, right? Because he, other than God, it did not have to be. He gave you special dispensation to be able to pass along what he had ordained. Now, I would love to tell you that all mothers did the things that they want to do. Sometimes mothers didn't understand. You know Abraham and Sarah, right? Sarah wasn't a mother yet, but she was supposed to be a mother. But she had to wait. And in her infinite wisdom of trying to fix it, Sarah messed it up because she doubted God. But she had to begin to see amazement even before God created her in her, because he gave her a promise.
Yes.
See, she should have been amazed that God made a promise. So if she had been amazed that God made a promise, Hagar would not have had a baby with Abraham. But because she wasn't amazed at the promise of God, she couldn't see it yet. She did some things. But then after she saw the amazement that came out of Hagar, she said, wait a minute, y'all. I can't handle this up around here. And yeah, so she had to what? Tell him to go away. But that was not her plan. God had a plan to send them to be blessed. And then God said, wait a minute, Sarah. Now do you get that I told you I was going to promise you somebody? Guess what, Sarah? It's time.
My God.
And with Sarah, she saw her baby. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
My God.
Now, the reason mothers need to ponder some things in their heart, because if they don't ponder, they can be led astray.
Amen.
Y'all know how a mother in the Bible, any Bible students in here, she chose one son over the other son and deceived her child, her husband. So that what? A birthright could be stolen? Could be stolen? Excuse me. Go search your Bibles. You know what I'm talking about. What? A birthright, because a mama didn't see the other son in amazement. Mm-hmm. And she seen both of them in amazement. She never would have been part of that thing.
My Lord.
There are no favorites, children. It might seem like it. It might act like it. Mama might speak like it. But guess what? She's going to see you in amazement. You just hang on. You just hold on. Don't worry about a thing. There's a song that we used to sing years ago about two brothers. And there was a brother who was all Mr. Successful. And he got married and brought mama to live with him. But mama had broken English. And mama was from the South. And all of a sudden, the boy's wife said, look, you know, mama teaching us broken English and everything else. And our kids can't live like that. He said, okay, mama, you got to leave here and go to the old folks home. But the son, who had always been in trouble and never done anything, said, wait a minute, mama, said, you ain't got to go no home. Said, you can come live with me in your time of need. I got one bed, but you can have a bed and I'll sleep on the couch, but I ain't letting you go there. You can come sit and stay with me. And mama looked in amazement and said, yes, son, I'll come. Because in her time of need, the amazement she saw, even though he never did what he should have did earlier, he came to her rescue at the end day. And that's what mamas will do. When you see your child in amazement, whether they listen to you or do whatever, in your time of need, they gonna come to your rescue, because they've been trained up, taught up, and brought up in fear and admonition of God.
My God. My God.
Oh, you don't have to believe me. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 49, 14 through 16. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Say, oh, yeah, there'll be a few of them that forget. We see it. Some mamas walk away from their children, and they never remember anything. But God said, I have given what? A graven thee upon the palm. I placed you in the palm of my hand, but I don't want you to be confused. He ain't talking about palm reading. Palm reading said, well, God placed it in your hand. Let me read it. No, God ain't got to read nothing out of your hand. He used this illustration to say, look, I know who you are.
Yes.
I know you so much, you're in my hand.
Yeah.
And then if you go to do, he said, what? Nobody can pluck you out of my hand. See, God was connecting the dots way through.
Thank you, Lord.
So you'll always be continually. And with mamas, their prayers are always for their children, even when they get caught up in their own thing.
Yeah.
I read, I was doing some reading, and I was reading what the psychologists and the psychiatrists say, and the counselors talk about women, mothers who have given up their children, or they've lost a child to miscarriage or some other form of death. And they say those are the most difficult things for them to ever overcome, because whether they gave the child up for adoption or they had an abortion because it just wasn't the right time, it ponders in their heart for year after year after year. Things come up. They might be looking well, acting well, all successful on the job, but every now and then God stopped them and let them know that, you know, that's all right, that the mistake would be made or whatever has happened, but guess what? I still got you. I'm reminded when my mother had a miscarriage, and I'm coming to tell you, those are some of the most depressing days in our household, because all she could think about was what would have been. Would I've had a girl, or would I've had a boy, or what would my child be? I'll bet you. And she used to sit there sometimes. I'll bet you my son or my daughter could read like nobody reads. She said, I'll bet you that my son or daughter would be able to sing like me, because y'all can't sing. But say, my, every now and then she would have those memories, and we would be looking at, Mama, you talking about something that ain't good? She said, no. Say, but that was what God had promised me, and I don't know what happened, but I still think about what my child would have been. Mm-hmm. And that's where, because she looked in amazement. She had to have a question here and now. And that's what mothers need to do. You need to ponder in your heart. But see, we have to also ponder that God has given us the greatest gift that he ever gave. He gave us his son, Jesus.
Yes.
And so here we find that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was practicing and exercising all these things that God gave her to do. And if you look at Isaiah 66 and 13, it says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort ye, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The promise of God that he uses through mothers is fulfilled by Jesus. So this mother Mary of Jesus is pondering in her heart, knowing that, hey, it appears my son's being disobedient, but I got to ponder this, because guess what? He said that I was told that he would be the savior of the world. I just happened to be his mother. I still got to go through what a mother would do. I can't let my boy do wrong. I got to challenge his authority, but I got to submit to who he is. Now, just imagine, mothers, if your child had been Jesus. Do you think you would have spanked him? Do you think you would have put him on lockdown? Do you think you would have yelled at? Oh, I just got a question now. But I'm going to answer it for you. The question is, if Jesus was your child, yes, you would have, because that's what the world and the law taught us to do. But it would have been such a special thing to say, hey, I got something to do with the upbringing of the Savior of the world.
My God.
But now, can I just drop a nugget here for you, mothers? You still got something to do with the Savior of the world. Because you impart the wisdom and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into your child and train them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord so they won't depart. You are spreading the gospel. And guess what? You are mothering Jesus Christ, because if Jesus in us, it's just as if Jesus is right here himself, because he's living through us. We look different. We're shaped different. Some are taller, some are shorter, bald, some are young. But we still, you're provided as a mother to Jesus, because the Spirit is in you. And when the Spirit is in you and it's in them, hallelujah to the Lamb, you are allowing the word to go forth.
Yeah. Amen. Oh,
what does that look like? When you pray, Jesus is praying. When you study in the word, Jesus is teaching. When you're in your own place and you're rejoicing and praising God, Jesus in the midst. And your children, when they begin to do it, they are doing just what Jesus is doing, being about their father's business.
My God.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Mm-hmm. The things that God wants a mother to do. You got to look in amazement at God's creation, the children of the world, not just your own, but the other children. Mm-hmm. See, this thing goes beyond our own little household and our own flesh and blood. Every child we see, they're precious in God's sight. You got to question what they do. Sometimes when they come through your way, you got to say, wait a minute, son. Wait a minute, my daughter. Why are you doing that?
Right.
See, when we talk about the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, we need to be asking sometimes, why are you doing that, baby? Why are you doing that, my son? You ain't my motherfucker. I get that. But why are you doing something that you know is wrong? Mm-hmm. We can't be afraid, but they might curse me out. So let them curse. Look at them and say, you know, Jesus wouldn't be happy with that. Every now and then. And then we need to ponder. Can I translate ponder for you and go say, we need to pray? We see some things. So while we ponder these things in our heart, we need to pray. Pray over that situation. I was in line to go in Sam's yesterday to just get the weekly groceries I needed to get from there. And as all these people were standing in line in there with their mask on, a man was walking up with his son. They didn't have their mask on, but he had them in their hand. They were going to put them on when they got inside the club. I get that. We're outside. We're 6 feet apart. But what he said to his son troubled me. He said, do you see all these people are looking down on us because we don't have a mask on? It's our right not to have one. So he was now starting to pass on this rebellion versus, son, we got masks. We don't have to wear them outside. We're going to put them on before we go inside. And yes, outside the wind was blowing one way. They weren't walking, but that was still, but it was the rebellious spirit that he was starting to teach him. We have to be careful as we ponder in our hearts the things of God. And then one last thing. 1 Peter 3:4 says, you should be known by the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. It's the New Living Transfer. Mothers, you should be known for the beauty. I don't have to tell you. You know when you've walked up to a woman and a mother who's in that role, and they've just got a beautiful spirit.
Hello.
There's something about them that makes you want to hug them. There's something about them that makes you just want to be in their presence. There's something about them that you can see whatever it is, I just want to be a little bit like them. There's something about them that draws you to them. There's something about them that gives them an impact. And I'm saying this because these are the kind of things that when your mother's in this place and you've known your mother to be like this and you've seen women to be like this, this gives you encouragement. This gives you peace to get through the storm. Because there'll come a moment when they're not there, but then God sooner or later will show you somebody else that'll fill that role for you. Somebody else that will have that beauty. Somebody else will be that gentle and that quiet and that precious and that will still tell you how precious you are.
Yes.
Say, mothers, you should be known. And brothers, this word applies to us too. But we ought to lift up our mothers. We ought to honor our mothers. We ought to praise our mothers for who God had made them. We ought to acknowledge them. We ought to encourage them. The Bible says we ought to what? Spoil them. We ought to love them like Christ loved the church if there are wives, but we ought to acknowledge that they are somebody.
Yes.
I'm so sick and tired and sick of all the people talk about is the abuse and negativity. And yet all the wonderful, gorgeous, and outstanding mothers of God we have, and all we hear is about the craziness. You want to do something, start talking about the glory and the joy of the Lord as God has equipped us through our mothers. Young people, if you want to really honor your mother, start being more obedient and not causing her to have to ponder what she's going to do to us. Stop causing her to have to get upset. Stop causing her. Just be obedient. And the more obedient, the more love that you will see that flows through your mama. So I don't know about you. So today, as we honor you mothers, I want you to understand there's some things that God wants you to do. There's some things. He says he wants you to look in amazement at yours that he's given you but at the others around you.
Man.
He wants you to question what they do. God has given us specific instructions that don't make sense to us sometimes. And then to ponder in our heart, to pray, pray, and pray. And know that God has given us what he has for us.